Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome back to BS Talk, episode 131. Irv, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm feeling great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Just had some good laughs before the show, so can't wait to get in the show. The one thing I always forget to pull up before the show is the first topic. The first thing you put in there. I always forget to pull it up, and I'm always behind, and I have to flabbergast into the microphone as I pull up Twitter polls because I always forget to pull them up. But they are up right now. We gained a couple more followers, which is not bad. Again, we have a new YouTube video out. You can find that at BS. You can find that at BS Talk on YouTube. BS Talk with Irv and Cam. And then our Twitter, you can find that BS _ Irv and Cam. Twitter and IG, BS _ Irv and Cam. With that being said, Irv, let's get right into the Twitter polls. Should Zach LaVine request a trade from the Bulls? That came back 100% says no, they can work it out. I'm guessing the Bulls fans voted on that one. They ain't working anything up.
I'm not mad. Honestly, they can. And you know what they got to do, Cam? Put your GM hat on for 2 seconds real quick. Everybody got to go. Fuchs got to go. DeMar got to go. Alex Caruso got to go. Kobe got to go. Everybody got to go. Yeah. They got to bring in a whole new squad. And nothing can be left. It's got to be scorched earth. And just say, hey, Zach, we fully invested in you. We're going to rebuild this whole thing around you. Now, maybe they keep a couple guys, Patrick Williams, different things like that, guys who are versatile at power forward, small forward, or just good different skill sets. But that whole thing got to get blown up at this point. It's over and done with. Or you fire Billy Donovan. Either one.
All right. Is Ron Rivera last season as the Commanders head coach? That came back 100% says, yes, he's gone. sorry, Ron. No,
there was not a fight in this for Ron to stay.
Yeah. New ownership's there, too. They're going to want somebody new coming in, especially if they draft a QB. If they draft a QB, they're going to want a new head coach for that. Because you're going to want a new system, new head coach, new everything, and go on from there. They do have some good receivers and running backs over there. So I don't want to talk ill of Sam Howell because he's not doing too bad. But Ron's got to go. That's going to do it to our Twitter polls. Again, you can find our Twitter polls at BS _ Irvin Cam. No MLB or NHL updates this week. I'll save you all the standings of what's going on for next week. But we'll move on to college football, Irv. Irv's reading something. College football.
Oh, no. I started reading a little thing. It's like some type of thing about Jamal Adams going after somebody's wife and him as a reporter. Connor Hughes. Sorry, I get to reading beef real quick when it's something that's controversial. I'll switch over real quick to see who wants some smoke because you can't talk about people's, you know what I mean? Like, you can't talk about people's wife. And like Michael Rapaport. And Kevin Durant, it was different when it was them beefing. But he started talking about Michael Rapaport, like, wife and family and stuff. I was like, oh, no, you got to throw hands. Immediately, you got to throw. Like, you got to just say, Katie, where you at? You got to DM, email, whatever it is. Katie, where you at? Because we got to throw these hands. You go disrespect my wife.
I don't know. Like, he's 7 foot tall. I don't know how tall Michael Rapaport is, but you man, be reaching. You bruh, be reaching.
Trees get chopped down every day, so you gotta go out there chop some wood, bro. You got ain't nobody scared of no 7-footer at 140 pounds.
All right then.
All right, college football. So Cam, what games did you catch this week? Because honestly, we gotta start talking about the Heisman. We gotta start talking about the Heisman. Who's still in it? Who's out of it? Bo Nix out of it, in it. They just lost last night. Would you still consider him a Heisman candidate?
I think he's a Heisman candidate, but I don't think he's winning it.
Okay, so he's out, like yeah. out as a winner. Candidate, yeah. Still whatever, but like winner, like real, we're talking about real winners.
Yeah.
Like Jaden Daniels, he's out.
First of all, I took an L last night. I got to add that to my predictions because Oregon lost. I took a big L last night. I thought Oregon was going to win that. Washington beat them not only once this year, but twice to prove that they are the better Pac-12 team and ready to move on. But yeah, Bo Nix, I have him out of the Heisman with that loss. He still put up some good numbers yesterday, but you know, you got to complete some passes there in crucial situations. And Michael Penix Jr., he did work. The offense that the Washington Huskies drew up was really well done. And that Dylan Johnson, 28 carries, 152 yards. Just give him the rock. He's going to get you the yards. It's going to be a bang, bang, right up the, like, runner. And I don't want to say right up the middle because there's a lot of sweet plays. But, but yeah, I mean, Washington, well-deserved win. I watched that game from start to finish. Good for Washington. Congratulations on winning. I got it wrong. I predicted Oregon. So we took an L there.
So I watched the game too. Great game. But Oregon never established a real run game, like outside of Bo Nix. Bo Nix had to do it all. So the reason why I put Bo Nix out of it is because all the stuff that he was doing in the game, 239 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He was 21-34 for passing. QBR 88.9. Then you look at rushing, he was their leading rusher with 6 carries, 69 yards. They just never really established like a run game with a running back. You know what I mean? They never said, hey, we're going to feed this guy 15, 20 times, control the clock, zones, and all that other stuff. But they never truly, even with Bo Nix having 239, they never really found their footing with wide receivers either. Two receivers have 5 catches, 1 5 catches for 68 yards, the other one 5 catches for 16 yards. Then you look at the next top receivers catching the ball, 4 receptions for 34 yards, 4 receptions for 17 yards. And they had one receiver, Trayshon Houghton. He only had 1 catch for 63 yards. That was a tippy toe one, the tippy toe play.
Yeah.
So you look at it and you were like, they were big play or nothing, it seems like. You know what I mean? It was just straight big play or nothing. They didn't establish anything. They just, hey, if we can get one big play, let's get that big play and get off the field. And you look at Washington, I think Penix Jr. should be in it.
Oh yeah.
I know his numbers. I know his numbers don't quite, like, he had 319. He was 27-39, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. And I know they leaned heavily on the run game to get them out of this one. Cause Dylan Johnson, like, how can I put this? Imagine being a running back, Cam, and you the second running back, right? So you expecting at least 10 carries. At least 10, Cam. At least 10 in a whole game. I should at least get 10. I should at least get 8. The man had 28 carries for 152 yards and 2 touchdowns. Everybody else had 1 carry. Everybody else, it didn't. If they said, hey, man, you're going in, but you're going in the pass block. Coach, he's tapping his helmet. He need a break. Okay, get in. Mike, spin that thing. Remember your pass blocking schemes. Get in there.
Yeah. It seemed like Washington controlled that game, even giving up that last touchdown, not the lead, but giving up that last touchdown to let him back in it. I mean, hell of a play by that running back tiptoeing, like you talked about, or not running back, right receiver tiptoeing in the end zone. But you got to give it to Washington, give him props. And though we have him in the college football playoffs. We have to put him in there. So.
I'm glad they're number 3. You know, going into this, they were number 3. Oregon was number 5. So they maintained their 3 status. We didn't even talk about Dylan Johnson throwing a touchdown, mind you. He carried ball off for 28 times, 152 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground. Then he threw a touchdown to the tight end late in the game, Quentin Moore. But just to give you some perspective before we move on to the next game or move on from this game, because this was a big game, it was a Pac-12 championship. Their leading receiver, McMillan, 9 catches, 131 yards, no touchdowns. Second leading receiver, the guy Rome Ozudu, 8 catches, 102 yards. So their leading receivers, no touchdowns, straight yardage.
Oh, yeah.
Straight yardage. So Washington just had, the stabilization to say, we are going to be, consistent. We're going to have better consistency and outlast you instead of trying to be big play for big play.
Yeah, it's pretty balanced offense they're having. I mean, you look at the runs, 28 carries, and then you look at the passing, it's 39 plus the other 241.
It's 28 for one guy. That's the part that's killed. I could see if he had 15, 16, but the other running back's got to be disgusted today. I ain't watching film. What's it doing? We got film at 3 o'clock. For what? To watch Dylan? I watched Dylan all last night. I'm not going to watch Dylan again. All right, we can move to another game if you watch it.
That's the one game I watched. I did not watch the what was it? The New Mexico State. I did not watch that one. Not New Mexico State, sorry. Oh yeah, it is New Mexico State. Yeah, I did not watch
you're right.
I did not watch the Conference USA Bowl. I know Liberty won, but I did you watch it at all?
Nah, I wasn't interested. After that game, I got other things to do around here. You know, I got kids crying. wife's cooking dinner. I gotta get in when you fit in. Games. I can't be committing
like
to everybody.
Say, this is BS talk. This isn't like a good, you know, this isn't like a sports podcast or anything. So,
hey, can I bring up one quick thing while we're still in college football? Because it's going to get kind of tight because this Saturday, today is the big games it's only three games really, or two games I really want to see. The other ones, I don't know. Maybe three. but, what is it? Oh, Nevada firing their head coach after two seasons. Like I was there when that dude got hired. Ken, what's his last name? Doesn't even matter at this point. He got fired. But I'm just like, Nevada, what are y'all doing getting rid of y'all coach? There ain't a lot of fish out in the sea right now. You know what I mean? Y'all should have just got that man the whole 3 years, gave him his whole contract. It's hard to recruit to Nevada because you're not UNLV, so you don't have that spectacular nightlife type deal. You know what I mean? No, you can entice somebody with the whole, hey man, like, yeah, you practice, you play hard, you do all this, but you know, if you want to have a social life, you can always come downtown or whatever for a little bit, you know, relax. You don't have that. You're a more family oriented place, and you're not going to get recruits to go to Nevada like that. Like that's a hard school to recruit to. That's like Idaho type school to recruit to. Even though it's stuff around, you just gotta, everything's like, oh, if you want to go to California, it's like a 6-hour drive. And you're like, okay, so if the passes are good, getting there by flight, terrible. One of the worst turbulence I've ever had flying into an airport every time you fly in. like you feel like every time you come back to this mug, it might be your last time flying in. So just what are y'all doing in Nevada? I'm going to have to ask some people over there some questions just because I feel like 2 years, Cam, you know what I mean? 2021 is when he was hired. Yeah. A good 2 years, it's got to be more than just he got fired because they was just losing. Because they weren't really doing, you know, Jay Norvell left. They were in the top of the Mountain West. I think they had two back-to-back Mountain West championships. But all those recruits left. All those dudes basically left when Jay left. So I'm like, 2 years for a college program that's in an area that's like decent and people kind of want to go, but they don't. They're not really known like that. Like in the Mountain West, it's kind of hard for me to say they should have fired that dude unless there's some other stuff going on. So I have to reach out and see what's going on there. But that's something I was interested in. Go ahead, Cam. I'm sorry.
So I have a funny one. Bobby Petrino is coming back.
Yeah, as an offensive coordinator, baby.
Bobby Petrino back in Arkansas. I saw that. I started laughing.
The OC, baby. OC.
If you don't know Bobby Petrino's reputation, please Google it. There is a sports podcast that breaks down Bobby Petrino's NFL to college to having a neck injury. And I would say go watch it. I think it's hilarious. It is well informed. But the fact that, like, after everything that he has done to football and teams and everything, the fact that a team's like, yep, here's a good option. Here's a good option. Let's go with this guy is it is college football at its finest explained. Like, the fact that he got another opportunity, it tells me that you really can't be blackballed. Oh, hold on. Let me rephrase that. If you're white, you cannot be blackballed from football. I'm surprised Gruden doesn't have a job yet.
So they, how can I put this? It's levels to this. You know what I mean? It's levels to your stupidity that you can have and still get another job somewhere else. And you know what I mean? People vouch about different things. So like with the Bobby thing, the motorcycle thing, everything else that was coming about and the NFL stuff, like people still said Bobby got it offensively, like as an offensive coordinator, he can still draw up some plays. And his brother, Paul, who I had the pleasure of working with, because Paul is super cool. I know people are like, oh, he cusses at the students. He goes, he's from an old school coaching tree where it ain't the new school where it's like, hey, let's sit down and talk about this. I'm yelling at you because I want you to get better. I'm yelling at you because I care, but I'm yelling at you because I need you to hurry up and get this information in so we can run the next play and be better. It's a different breed as athlete. I don't think I could take that kind of coaching either. I was good for you to yell at me, but you got to stop at a certain point before I got to take this helmet off and we got to throw these hands. Because it's just one of those things, like, it's enough. You get to enough. Coach me about the play, but don't call me no names. That kind of stuff. But I had the pleasure of working with Paul. Great dude. But then both of them, geniuses offensively. Like, bro, you'll sit down if you ever had the pleasure or you ever sat down with them and got them in a classroom type setting and you just said, go ahead and talk to me about football and sports, bro, they'll start drawing up X's and O's and you're like, that can't work. And you're like, well, it will work because this safety will get pulled, this will get pulled. So it's really up to the quarterback to make the smart decision to go with the option route or to hit the back to give them enough time to get upfield and the other receivers turn to blockers. Like, they draw up some stuff. Like, I would see Paul run plays in practice or even in games, and you would have to say this, and you, it's a rarity you say this. If he had better athletes, that play goes for a touchdown. That's not a 10-yard gain. That's not a 15-yard gain. That's a touchdown if you have the right type of athlete. So I'm just giving credit to them as offensive coordinators, football-wise. All the personal stuff, I ain't going to speak on that. That ain't got nothing to do with me. But I could see Arkansas trying to take the next step and hiring him if he's in the modern day offense, if he got that modern day offense mindset.
Well, we'll see what happens there. Some of the other, because we're on this this topic we brought up of like teams, you know, the coaching carousel for college football, basically. USC is trying to steal UCLA's defensive coordinator. They're trying to go get over there. They're just trying to set a deal up. Vandy, offensive coordinator is out. Gambling State fires Hugh Jackson. We all know Hugh Jackson.
Grambling.
Yeah, Grambling State.
Grambling.
Isn't that right? That's what I said.
You ain't an Grambling. SCA, right? Go ahead, just move on.
Grambling, right? Grambling. That's how it's pronounced.
Yeah,
They fire Hugh.
Let's keep.
Yeah, it's not even state. I don't know why I keep adding state to these schools that don't have state in them. Anyhow, they fire Hugh Jackson. But yeah, the coaching carousel has begun. Boise State's head coach as well is out after going 22-14 since he's been there. It's kind of interesting. Finally, USC got the pitcher with their defense coordinator. and they got rid of him. Iowa. With their offensive coordinator, they finally got rid of Iowa's offensive corner. Great defense in Iowa, but just Iowa could not put up points. And it's just one of those things where you're going to see a bunch of people moving around. So that could be it. Why Nevada fired him is they probably think they could do well with another coach or just as well. I'm looking at the one game I keep looking at is the game they had versus San Diego State. Can you imagine going from Nevada all the way down to San Diego to play a game that ends 6-0?
And I would be like, maybe it's time to go.
Like, you two are literally battling for like who's going to get let go first in a way, because I'm disappointed in San Diego State only putting up 6 points as well. That's pretty bad.
To be honest with you, with some of these coaching carousels for some of these schools, the one thing I feel like ADs sometimes don't really take into consideration before they let this person go is who can they really bring in? Who is really available? Yeah. Like, you know, you got to do your talks through your networking, you know, your unofficial talks, because Iowa is It's a great defensive school. You already said it. Offensively, they don't really get that kind of production, and they've always been known as a run team. So if I'm a wide receiver, why am I coming here? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they've been predominantly known as a run team, put out a lot of good running backs, but you literally go, like, why would I come here if I'm a wide receiver to block? I'm just coming here to block. Now, you you gotta see who's available to say offensive coordinator wise, this is the offensive coordinator, or this is the new head coach who has this kind of offensive prowess, throwing the ball more, being more of this. Cause like the biggest thing about recruiting is not just the coach and their attitude and their charismatic. What's the offense you running? What's the defense you running? Cause if that doesn't fit the build and you just trying to get student athletes, no offense, like, oh, we think we can work with this project and this project in regards to the young student athletes they get, you just gonna have the same carousel. In the area, Iowa's super cold in the wintertime, dog. So you telling me you finna go get a bunch of California and Texas kids and put them all up there and be like, hey, through this month is straight winter. So we gonna practice outside so y'all get used to it. What?
Builds character.
I don't know what character it built, but I know when I had to practice outside and I have sleeves and all that on, I was like, nah, dog, this ain't building character, this building hypothermia.
I mean, I had to run outside. So,
I mean, and I feel bad for you.
I didn't. I just kept going. I just didn't build character. Just keep going. It's not the cold. It's the wind. It's the wind that does it for me. As a runner, the wind is the worst. I can do cold. Cold with no wind, no problem. It could be negative 30 out. No, with no wind, better. It's better than a day where it's 20 degrees out with wind. Hated the wind. Hated it.
I don't like none of it. So some of these places, like even Boise State, they got rid of their coach. Wasn't a great record. Wasn't a bad record. But I don't know what they're trying to return to. Like them Ian Johnson and Zabraskis and Kellen Moore. Them days is over.
I'm kind of with you on this about the coaches like firing. Is I think you should always, in my opinion, always give a coach at least 3 years, unless they've done something so outrageous that you have to let them go. The reason to give them 3 years is by then they brought their own people over, they have their own scheme, they've gotten settled into what players they want to fit their scheme. So in my opinion, I think minimum 3 years before you let somebody go, just because you have to give them that opportunity. But with the transfer portal nowadays, maybe they sped that up because they're like, no, you have the transfer portal, you should be getting players that you think are to your scheme. So I don't know. I think we live in a day and age where everybody wants things quickly, you know, where it's like, yep, they want results quickly, they want results now. And it's just like social media. We want things quickly on social media. We want it now. And then the minute you have to have patience and wait for it and wait for success, it doesn't happen. And I think you're just repeating the same cycle of kind of losing in a way.
Yeah, you are.
So, and that's just, I mean, that's my opinion. If you all think differently, let us know. Be happy to hear about it. I'll argue on my behalf and you argue on your behalf.
Well, the last thing about this before we should look into picking games, because we wasted a lot of time, not just a waste, but we had a lot of time on this topic. NIL deals and transfer portals, killing coaches, head coaches, killing recruiting. Because the students, if you're a student athlete nowadays, Cam, what's the first two things you want to know? Like when you're, after you've discussed, like obviously if you play football, the offense, the defense, or even basketball, like what your role is, your position, track and field, what's my scholarship, what events I'm going to do. After you've done the regular business stuff of athletics, what's the real business you're trying to get to? Where's money, my money coming
money
from?
Money and how much time am I playing?
Yep, exactly.
How much time you go, am I playing money?
I think we're going to redshirt you and we think we're going to do this. And then you probably won't make a lot of money your first year in NIL deal. That's all I need to hear. I'm gone.
I don't blame these students being able to move on, though.
Me either. Go get your money. Me either.
Like DJ Unga, by the way, we're going to see the carousel for a transfer portal. It's already begun. DJ Unga is leaving Oregon State because their head coach is out. He took a job with Michigan State. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see DJ Unga at Michigan State. But yeah, you're going to see a lot of these.
Let's go, Michigan State. Let's go, Coach Schmidt.
You're going to see a lot of players. You know what, Irv? I gotta give
my green and white at.
You've been sticking with that coach from day one. You've been cheering for Oregon State, so I'm glad you're sticking with now Michigan State. Green and white. Magic Johnson went there. So
you got Draymond went there. Magic went there. It's been a lot of good players that came out of Michigan State, basketball wise and football wise. But the biggest thing is, Coach Smith invested in you as a player. Like when you get a coach, him. My coach from high school, Matt Logan, Matt Lance, all that coaching staff, they're hiring high school coaches, my college coaches, those that, you know, stayed around, because I went through like three coaches. But when you got a coach that invests in you as not just a player, but as a person, that's different. You got to root for them. When they invest in you, not just for your personal, not just for your success, so they can have success on the field, but they invest in you as a person to say, hey, man, I want to see you be the best version of yourself you can be. You got to rock with them. Coach Smith is that kind of dude. He invests in you as a person. I got to rock with Coach Smith. Plain and simple.
Yeah. So one also thing I learned was, because I have an inside look with some of the student staff here, the students that are on the team at Davis, they told me that there's over 4,000 students in the transfer portal right now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Think about that. That's basically, think about how many like college there are across the country and how many college football like teams there are. 4,000 students are like, yeah, we're transferring out of here. And you're going to see some names move around. I mean, I'm looking at the transfer portal right now, about where like players are supposed to be going, like DJ Unga, the QB, the rookie QB, Deontay Moore for UCLA. He hit the transfer portal. And he had a pretty good season. So Cameron Ward, I think he's fourth in stats right now for
the WSU quarterback is leading.
Yeah. It says Ward is transferring the WSU program from where in the 2002 season he was there. Apparently he continued. Yeah, I think he wants out because the Pac-12 is kind of folding. So
yeah, you heard about what the Pac-12 and Mountain West is doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I did.
I had a conversation with Janae about it, and I was laughing. I was like, that is the stupidest. You got to fire both your ADs. Both your ADs got to go, bro. I don't know how. If Cal, who ain't winning, got into another conference, but we winning, we ranked in some cases, and we can't get no home? Yeah. Somebody got to lose a job. Somebody, if you're the president of them universities, you got to go down to the athletic department and say, big dog, here's your pink slip, pack your bags, you out in a week. We got to get somebody in here who got connections, who network, because there's no way we should be stuck on stupid, just straight stuck on stupid conference-wise.
Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of quarterbacks, of course, and wide receivers as well.
Anybody from Texas?
I'm still looking. I think it's because they have a chance to make the playoffs, so they won't do that yet. But like Miami's Tyler Van Dyke, who was rated back, supposed to be number one quarterback. He like 2 or 3 years ago, he's hitting the transfer portal again.
He just came from North Carolina, didn't he? Dang,
he's hitting it again. A lot of quarterbacks.
He said Cristobal ain't worth it. He said Cristobal ain't doing it for him over there. So, yeah, coach,
you know who I was surprised that came out instead of hitting the transfer portal is Spencer Rattler. He decided to go out for the draft instead of trying to hit the transfer portal.
That makes sense. That makes sense. He's probably tired of being in school. He also got like TikTok followers and internet.
Yeah.
Remember he was a young kid, internet sensation, little kid as a quarterback.
We could never figure out when he was in Oklahoma. We could never figure out why Oklahoma fans kept booing him. Like, it wasn't like he had a bad performances or anything, but nobody liked him there. And I don't understand, like, you're like, something has to be going on at that school or something like that.
It had to. He had to be a jerk, like in the classroom or professionally, or like he just had to be he might have had to been a bad, I don't want to say a bad person, but doing things that leave a bad taste in people's mouth, first impressions, whatever. Maybe he think his status, because like I said, he was a young phenom in regards to like being in like middle school or something like that and being all over the internet. Maybe he thought he was big, larger than life, and that's why Oklahoma didn't like him.
Yeah, I was unsure. We never figured out why, and I don't think we were going to try to.
But he didn't do nothing at South of Carolina either. He wasn't outstanding there. He was a good quarterback.
That's why I thought he would hit the transfer portal, go to a bigger school, and then try to get drafted a little bit higher. But
this is going to sound bad, but I can't see him getting drafted, period, in a discussion. I got to see him as a free agent. Like, it sounds bad, and I don't mean to like be negative, but I just don't see him with the skill sets and the things that he's shown at two different schools with two different offenses, being a guy you're like a Russell Wilson, where he came from one school, went to another school, Wisconsin, took him to a playoffs, and did all that. But you saw a talent in him where it was like, okay, he elevates a team in college. Baker Mayfield going from Texas Tech to Oklahoma, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I just didn't see it out of him. So I think he'll be undrafted.
I'm trying to look up where they have him projected right now, because we didn't have this in the
Free
show
agent.
where we but
Free agent. Just move on.
I think what I was looking up earlier was supposed to be like third or fourth round, which is crazy to think because I think that's a little high as well. Oh, fifth round. Fifth round, it says here.
I can't see him going fifth round. No offense. Like, teams are going to – and Spencer Rattler, I'm not against you by no means. Do you ever hear this? But right now, quarterback-wise, you're not in the upper echelon. And if I was a GM, I would much rather take a risk on you as a free agent than waste a draft pick. And I hate to say waste, but waste a draft pick taking you in the fifth round when I need to take an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, a linebacker, take a chance on another position.
So fifth round from sportskeeda.com is the one that I had it. NBC Sports. I don't know. I don't want to go through all these, but anyhow,
don't.
Let's move on to the next topic. Pick our games, Irv. I think should we pick games or should we just say what games we're watching? Because there's not that many games.
I'll tell you right now, Texas, Oklahoma State. I'm gonna try and get on that one. Obviously Georgia and Alabama, and that'll probably be my two. If I can catch some Louisville and Florida State, because I want to see if Florida State can keep it pushing, that'll be my potential three, but really two.
I took another L. I got it marked down because I said that Florida and the points would have beat Florida State, and they did not. They did not, unfortunately, last week. That's another game I ended up watching. I thought Florida would have, you know, beat Florida State if I took the points as well if I was betting. I did not bet, but if I was betting on that game, I would have took the points. Anywho, games I'm watching, like you said, definitely watching that Texas game. Kind of want to see how Oklahoma State does versus Texas. And if Texas can hold on and do they get into, you know, do they get into that playoff spot? They're hoping either for a Michigan, they have to hope for a Michigan loss at this point, Michigan or FSU loss. Cause Washington locked it up. Bama, Georgia, just because if Bama upsets Georgia, then you have a controversy. Do you put Bama back in it? Do you put, like, if FSU loses, I mean, it's going to be wild. I think Michigan, Iowa is going to be a blowout. I don't, especially Iowa just fired their offensive coordinator. You know, it wasn't like they're putting up a lot of points anyhow, but that does also do something. So, got some good games to watch and predict. And depending on these outcomes, it can, like, that playoffs, those playoff spots could adjust. We know that Washington for sure is in. There's no way you can take Washington out. They're locked in.
They won a conference. Yeah, they won a Pac-12 conference. They're in.
So they're in. But, yeah, this is some games to watch. But I'm ready to move on to the next topic, Irv.
Yes, sir. So we're going to stay in the NFL. Cam, heading to the NFL, here's a topic for you. What head coach might be fired midseason or at the end of the season? We've already seen some coaches fired now, midseason. Josh McDaniels, Carolina Panthers head coach, and I forgot
Frank
the other
Rich.
Head coach.
Frank
Wright.
I said Frank Rich. My goodness, what's wrong with me?
But what coach, what are some other midseason or as we creep into the later part of the season that might be fired or at the end of the season fired? Just give me a couple.
So dated back to last week, you mentioned Brian Daboll, the Giants head coach. I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I don't think he will. I don't think he will, and I don't think he should be on the hot seat. Now, next year, if they don't have a winning season, then yes. But this year, I think he had too much success last year. Yes, they brought back Daniel Jones. I don't think he should be fired. Again, you know my philosophy. Give them 3 years minimum, see how they do, change some things around, get their players in there, so on and so forth. So I think Brian Daboll is going to be – I don't have him on the hot seat at all. But that's just my opinion. I know you had a different opinion about it, where you're like, no, you brought back Daniel Jones. Like, you brought back the wrong
person.
It's
just not even just that. Like, you look at the offense, and it, like, you had Darren Waller playing wide out when he should be at the tight end position, going up the seams or doing work in that position. I get it. You didn't have a lot of offensive push this last offseason to get a wide out or draft a wide out. And you drafted the dude from Tennessee, Hyatt, for a speedster, but you rarely use him. It's not like he's in the starting lineup. The receivers they have, there are quality receivers, but don't get me wrong. If you're supposed to be trying to elevate this team, we talk about this, Cam, and we're going to talk about it later in a little bit. You need a top-tier receiver. Whether you draft one and you say, I'm going to put Young Bull in a position, he's got to lead by right off the bat, Or if you draft one and you say, okay, he should make that push. But I think Hyatt caught everybody's eye by speed. Because remember, at the later end of the season, he was going, you know, 212 yards against teams, 230 yards against teams. And it was all bombs. So for me, I'm like, he didn't do anything this offseason besides lock in Daniel Jones, get a really good tight end. But he didn't do anything else to help that offense. He didn't do anything. And then when Tyrod Taylor came in, like I already said, previous episode, y'all check it out. Please go ahead. Tyrod Taylor can't come in and have great success in the offense. And Daniel Jones, they're running the same plays. You can't do that. It can't look like that. It can't.
That's fair.
So go ahead.
That's fair. I'm going to still say he's good. Difference opinion. Okay. We'll move on. Next coach, we talked about last week, Sean McDermott of Buffalo Bills head coach. I said last week, and I'll stick to this, it's AFC championship win or nothing.
He's gone. It's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. He got to get a Super Bowl. I'm tired of seeing you in big games and you didn't fire poor Ken Norton Jr. What's that boy name? What's that man name?
Ken Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey. You didn't fire old Ken Dorsey as an OC. Like, oh, that's going to bring back Josh Allen. He had a couple good games. Then they slipped and fell again. They 6-6 or something like that. So
they haven't brought anything in there that's special. They haven't gone in, tried to get anything. I'm sorry, but I don't think Gabe Davis is a number two receiver. And we'll get to receivers later down the road. That'll be a good one. Mm-hmm. But I think they needed to go draft a wide receiver to help Stephon Diggs, to help Jared Allen. But it is what it is. We'll get in that. Why do you keep saying Jared Allen? Isn't it? It's Josh Allen.
It's Josh. Jared is a different beast.
I keep saying that, but maybe
like Jared Josh a little Allen. Bit better as a D lineman. He was a D lineman. We all liked him. He had some funny stuff. He was crazy. Texas
also scored a touchdown. They're up 7-0 on Oklahoma State. The next one is we talked about this again. Ron Rivera. Sorry, Ron, you're gone. I said it earlier this season. It's one of my predictions. He's going to be gone by the end of the season. The other one I have is Matt Eberflus for the Bears head coach. I think Matt is gone.
You want him gone. You want him gone.
I think he's gone at the end of the year just because it's stale offense is going on. But unless he puts up some big numbers in these next couple games, he's gone. I think you also prepare for a new quarterback coming in there.
I got to ask you a question because this is intriguing to me. Is it Eberflus or is it Justin Fields or whoever the offensive – Matt Nagy? Is it Matt Nagy who's the offensive coordinator?
No, that was the Jets. Matt Nagy is no longer there.
Yeah, he was not Matt Nagy. It was whatever other guy I was thinking about. But do you blame the head coach or do you blame Justin Fields? Because it's so both. Jekyll and Hyde with that team.
It's both.
And is it? Because I'm looking at it and that dude number 17 came in. I'm like, how's he balling?
So it's both.
How is this dude balling? And these plays are supposed to be terrible, what Justin Fields said. It's too much thinking.
It's both because Justin Fields, he has everything you would like in a quarterback, the athleticism, the arm, the accuracy, sometimes the accuracy, but he doesn't go through his progressions quick enough. And then when he does go through it, if one's not there, he doesn't go to two or three, and sometimes the pass isn't that accurate. I think it's two systems that weren't made for each other. And that's it. And it's going to be a bad breakup. The last one I have is Brandon Staley. He should be gone already. That's all I'm going to say. Brandon Staley should be gone already. He's probably a nice guy, but after that post-game loss, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I think we talked about it last week as well, where he got so defensive about the play calling, he should be gone. Brandon Staley should be gone by the end of this year or midseason. If they lose again today, they're gone. He's got to be gone. I said that last week.
I'll be honest with you. He should be gone midseason. He's a midseason guy. He's had plenty of chances to turn that team around in a sense. He's got plenty of talent. We look at that team offensively, and remember when Sean Payton came back, that was a team that was on the marker. It was between them and the Broncos, and Sean Payton went with the Broncos. But on the same token, he should have been gone a minute ago. Let me just wrap this up because we haven't had too much of a segment for the Chargers head coach need to be fired. He doodle bread. He doodle butter. We get it. And look at his record. Look at what he's done with that team. You can't have that much talent. That much talent offensively. And look on the defensive side of it. When you look on paper, you're like, yo, that should be one of the most outstanding secondaries in front sevens. Why are they not running, like, kind of second in the division? Like, no offense. It should be really the Kansas City, them, and then the my Raiders and Broncos. But they fighting for third and fourth with us. I'm like, that can't be right.
It's always
that can't be right.
It's always a
that
one
can't
point.
Be.
It's a 1 point scores too. It's like one possession scores. It's like a field goal here or 2 points here, and it sucks. But he's done this for the last 2 or 3 years. He's been there.
This is going, and this is to me my opinion. It is not facts. It's just my opinion. The reason why they lose in that fashion is because of coaching. It has nothing to do with the players. It has nothing to do. It's decisions that are being made previously or in the game that he's calling.
Yeah.
That's as a head coach, you know what I mean? If you got an offensive coordinator, you can hire Kellen Moore, let him run the offense and let him run stuff by you. Hey, we want to do this. Hey, we're hot. Can we do this? Or you make those hard decisions, but you're doing all of it at once. And I think his decision-making is being affected by the other roles that he's trying to call as a play caller and have a decision as a head coach. And he's letting them mix, and it's just volatile. Because you shouldn't be losing by 3 points every time, and that shouldn't be an ordinary thing. You should be getting over the hump with some of these. You know what I mean, Cam? You should be learning from your mistakes and be able to create game plans for situations, which football, for offense, it's all situations, because defense is read and react. So, yeah, I think you got to go. But I'm ready to go to the next one, because this is going to be a fun one.
Let's go to the next topic. We're both looking forward to this one. Go ahead and say it, Irv.
Let's talk wide receiver tier rankings. Let's talk about where we ranking some of these receivers. Go ahead. You got a list.
All right.
We're going to go through your list.
I do have a list, but we're going to jump back and forth for each receiver. So we'll say a receiver, and then we'll go and list them. So, for instance, let's start with a fun one, Calvin Ridley.
Tier system two.
Oh, so you go. Sorry. Really quick. I was going A, B, C.
Oh, okay.
D,
oh, we're going ABC. We're going grade. We're going letter grade.
So
letter grade. Letter grade.
Yeah, letter grade letter is better.
Grade. I got you. Academia. Okay. Letter
all right,
grade.
All right. Letter grade.
B.
B. Okay.
And we're not doing plus or minuses, so y'all leave that alone. Ain't no plus or minus. A, B, or C, D, F,
yeah,
to all the way to Z. All right. We got.
I hold on. I got him at a C. I have him at a C because I still have him up and coming where he can prove himself to get into the next echelon of the beer tier. I don't see him ever being an A-tier receiver, mainly because those are just spectacular receivers that you don't really come across too often. So I could see he just needs to prove it a little bit more because he's been out of the league for a little bit.
Consistent. Yeah. Okay, so I know I don't take anything away from your point with consistency. I have him as a B because I think his route running was still on point. I think getting those nerves out, getting back to, you know, feeling yourself, having that shoulder bump, that confidence is starting to show itself again. I think he's in the B tier system. I would have put him in the A back when he was in Atlanta because he was their main receiver. He was their big play receiver, great hands, great route running, good speed to have those big plays we talk about. I think he's getting back to there. I think staying in shape is different when you can work out and you be like, I'm 180 pounds, you know, 4% body fat, all great. You know, that's all good. That's all aesthetics. But when you got to play the game, you got to take those hits. That's what he was lacking. And I think getting back into it, and we talk about this all the time, practices are different. Players aren't taking as many hits. Same thing in basketball. Guys aren't going as hard in practice. They're still getting the shots up, but they're not putting their body through that kind of conditioning to be able to play a game like that. I think he's working his way back up there. But I agree with you about, like, he's not there yet. You haven't seen the best version yet.
And his probably sports betting advice is an A. So,
There it is. I knew something else had to come up with Calvin Ridley. I'm like, this can't be the first without something coming up. You're just mad because he could do it better than you.
Probably.
And he can make sure it happens.
Probably. Actually, I'm doing pretty well. I think I would say about 70% of my bets always are successful.
I bet you 100% of his Jag bets will go through.
Yeah, I'll have to hit him up. All right, go ahead, Irv. Next one.
The next one. Okay. The next one for me would have to be Davante Adams.
Okay, Davante Adams, I have at a B.
Same.
I have him at as a B. Nothing against him. I just, you know what it did it for me? It's because I was a Bears fan. And I've always watched him on the Packers. And every year when he was a Packers, he always had these really high expectations. Now, he had some great years, but not what I would have thought he would have hit. And they always had these, like, he was supposed to be the next greatest wide receiver, and he just never was, in my opinion. And then he goes to Raiders, and to be fair to him, he doesn't have the best QB thrown to him all the time either, which I think does do not justice to his statistic numbers. But even Randy Moss was a Raider too, and he pulled out some great numbers.
No, he didn't. We saw a dead shell of Randy Moss. Dead shell. When he went to the Patriots, I said, "Where was this Randy at?" It was the same Randy. It was just, I'll say it, it's where he's at. It's with the Raiders. The Raider team that I support, unfortunately, is a place for wide receivers to go and die. Just dead. Look at his eyes, Cam. Look at his eyes when he's playing. There's no passion in there.
It's hard.
No fire.
It's hard to get in my A tier. Let's just put it that way. You're getting that in my A tier is like really hard. But he is, for me, it's B tier.
He's the B tier for me too. And yeah. I'm just saying it's where he's at. I feel like if he could get out of here this season and go somewhere, if he went to like the Chiefs, oh my God. If you see him go somewhere where they go back to Aaron Rodgers with the Jets, him and Garrett Wilson going to have to take a back seat because Devontae finna turn up. He back in full thrust. He back in the A category, but he just looks so dead in the eyes and spirit with the Raiders. All right. Go ahead. You're next.
All right. Let's see. Let's go. Mike Evans.
B.
I have him as B as well.
He's sinking to C's though for me.
Ooh, wow. I don't have him doing that.
He's sinking. And it's not because Mike ain't good. It's just where Mike game is starting to transition. The ankle injuries, the knee injuries, those calf injuries starting to catch up. He got a lot of push-offs. He's starting to push off way more than what he need to. If you really were a ref and you really ref him with Mike, he ain't getting that kind of breakaway. Mike's starting to lose it. And I don't mean it in a disrespectful manner. And I always think he still should get paid for the work he put in with the Bucks. They should honor him and put him in the ring of honor. They should pay him, let him finish his career there because I don't think he's got much longer. But I want you to look at Mike Evans when you do watch the Tampa Bay Bucks play. That's a lot more hand fighting than what it should be. And it's a lot more pushing off just to get enough separation to make a contested catch. So he's a B right now, but he's sinking into the C system for me or C tier system.
I think I understand what you're saying. As you get older, you kind of do end up sinking down.
You're losing a step, but he's all those good catches that we've seen him have. He's like, oh, Mike still got it. When I'm looking at him, I'm like, damn, he got too harmed. Oh boy.
Big body.
He gave him like an extension. Yeah, but I mean, he gave big him body. Big extension. It wasn't like a little nudge. And I'm not even like, he like, get off me, bench press.
I have him in B tier. I understand you're thinking him C. I'm going over my analyst was overall career. He's always been a 1,000-yard receiver. No matter who's throwing to him, he's always every single season he's had a 1,000-yard receiver. I can't take anything away from him on there. It's nothing that like I can't give him A because A for me is like, wow, you come out there and you have a huge impact no matter what. And he just doesn't do that for me. He's also a little bit, maybe that's personality too. He's kind of a little bit soft spoken, unless you have that Saints corner out there. But otherwise,
Marcus Latimer, Now I love when they play because that's a good fight right there. Yeah. That's a division game. I got to see. Don't pan the camera off these two. Keep it right here.
I have him as a like his overall career like a B plus, almost an A, but B plus.
Oh, if we're talking overall career, I'll stay with that. But like, if you say, "Hey, Irv, where you got him right now?" Yeah, B.
Right now,
where do you think
right
he's
now,
gonna
B.
stay? He's gonna sink into the C category. Yeah. That I agree with that.
All right,
my turn.
Yep,
Cooper Kupp.
B.
Okay.
Fast possession receiver, doesn't do anything that's highlights really great. Anything that's really, really phenomenal. He's a good receiver. You could trust. I have him as a B. It's just nothing that's truly dynamic on him.
Okay.
But I'll give you that. But he's good. He's good, but that's it.
He's a good blocker, good route runner. I would have him on my team in a heartbeat. I'll give him a B as well. I'm going to say B. Okay, go ahead.
And I agree with you. I'd have him on my team in a heartbeat. All right, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, you know where that's at. That's go in ahead. The upper echelon. I'd A. That's a solid A.
Yeah.
Like, he might say some weird stuff in an interview, contradict himself. You might not like some personal stuff that happened when he was with Kansas City in the draft and, like, in his career there, like, personal-wise. But number-wise, we're going to stick with that. We're sticking with football.
Yeah.
With Football Americana, that man is an A. Solid.
I agree with you on this one. Have to put him as an A. The reason I put him as an A is you could put him on any team. You can have Zach Wilson even thrown to him because if he creates his own space and he will get that ball. And you can set him up in so many different ways. You could just throw it a quick slant to him. You could throw it out to him on a screen. You could just give it to him right away. And he will somehow get 2 or 4 yards out of it just because of it's so quick and so elusive. And then you always have to respect that downfield threat because the minute he gets 2 feet on you, next thing you know, that ball's up in the air, and it's that 2 feet turns into 10 feet, and he's gone, and you're not going to catch him.
Okay, my turn? I agree with you. I got to agree with you on all those points. Yeah. He just has too much separation. We're going to go with his teammate, Jaylen Waddle. Where do you have him then?
B.
Oh, we differ on this one. I give him an A.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the reason why is because Jaylen has shown he can carry a team, and the same thing that made Tyreek great make Jaylen great as well. They both have outstanding speed. They both run good routes. They both are guys who can take small 5-10 yard routes to the house or get you a big game, depending on how tired or fatigued they are. There's not a lot that separate them besides, obviously, they're different in regards to height, different in regards to weight. Jaylen's a little taller, a little more lengthier, probably has a little bit more of a catch radius. To me, he does. He has a better catch radius or bigger catch radius than Tyreek. But when it comes to explosion, oh, bro, they both out of the gate. You don't put no one-on-one over there.
You think it's because of he's in the shadow of Tyreek a little bit? Is that why you think I put him at a B maybe?
I don't think that. I think it's because right now you're in a GM mode, you're in a head coach mode, and you're picking a tier receivers, but you know who eat first. Tyreek gonna eat first.
Yeah.
So I don't think I think if Tyreek wasn't on that team and Jaylen Waddle was putting up the same numbers, I think you give him an A as well. I think you give him an A, but I think it's because you know, like, hey, he's secondary to him. So I have to give him a B if you're going to talk about teammates. Like, that's why I brought him up.
That's a fair one. My turn?
Yep.
All right. DJ Moore.
Oh, that's a good one. He's a solid B.
B for you? For me, he's an A.
He's a solid B.
He's an A because if you look at his stats and what he's had at Carolina and in Chicago, you're just like, how does he hit these numbers with what's going on? Like, it just doesn't make sense. I knew, like, when we got him from Carolina and they got a first round pick and him, I was like, wow, we just stole. We stole. And if you look at his stats this year with what's been going on, he's already over 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. Think about that with a backup quarterback. Your starting quarterback hasn't been that great and hasn't been throwing that well. But when he does throw, he's looking for you automatically. And he has over 1,000 yards already.
Yep.
I mean, he's got to be an A. He's pretty dynamic. He's pretty explosive. And it's one of those where you're looking for him. So DJ Moore is an A for me.
Solid B for me. I love to see him have bigger impacts on games. Like that 230 he had. Completely took over. I need to see a little bit more of that consistency instead of just being the number one target, getting the number one target kind of throws 8, 12, whatever catch it or thrown to get 100 yards. I just need to see a little bit more consistency that he is completely impacting the game. Okay, my turn.
Yep.
Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper, I have as a B.
You got him higher than I do.
Oh, I think Cooper, whatever team you put him on, he's always going to be a solid. He's going to always be a solid receiver. You're not going to hear him kind of, you know, go. He doesn't rub me off as a diva. That's why.
No.
But he's solid. No. It's like Cooper Kupp. That's what it is like. It's like a Cooper Kupp for me. And I think you can always count on him. I think he's put in a spot with the Browns where you don't have the best quarterback situation over there. But when he still gets his numbers and he's still doing pretty great over there. So solid B.
I say C.
Ooh, why is this Irv?
He just, and it's not because like, oh, he left the Raiders or anything like that. He just doesn't have that impact that I feel like a real true number one should. He's being force fed all these passes, but he's not impacting the game like he should be. Like Cooper Kupp, even though you're going to force him 10 and he might get 10 catches, he'll have 103 yards. He's going to have production where it's helping your team. I don't feel like that for Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper just don't have it to me. He just don't push that envelope of like, yeah, he's good. He's a good receiver. He'll come up with some big catches, But I would almost run my offense through Elijah Moore and be more explosive and have Cooper Kupp just make tough contested catches. Hey, body catches. I need you to do comebacks, things of that nature. Because to me, he's not a threat like he used to be. He's not giving out that production like I should be seeing from a true number one that's going to be a focal point, going to be a target. It's almost to me like Odell Beckham real quick. Like everyone goes crazy. Oh, Odell's with the Ravens. He ain't really did nothing with the Ravens. He just had 200-yard games these last two games, or 100-yard game the last game or a game before. Zay Flowers is more of a threat than he is. Rashard Bateman is more a threat than he is. Like, it to me, when I look at him, like, I'm not scared of Odell 101 if I'm a defensive coordinator, because he ain't did nothing to be like, oh, he Odell, he back.
Yeah.
So that's my take on Amari.
That's one man's opinion.
For sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's just me.
Yeah, that's fine. I think it's your turn now. Or no, it's my turn? My turn.
Yeah, it's your turn. I said Amari.
Oh, my bad.
Brandon Ayuk. B.
Irv's thinking B. I think we both agree. I have him as a B too. It's the system he's in. For me, it's the system he's in, and you also have Deebo Samuel over there. I think what puts him up to an A eventually, if it does happen, is if he becomes the true number one, but also B is if I want to see what he's like on another team, in a different system. And I don't hope that happens in his career, because I like him with San Francisco, but I just can't put him up to A where it's like, yep, you're going to take over this game. Like, we know the ball's going to you. So that's my opinion why I put him there.
I think he's perfect for that system. And I think he's a different, completely different. He's a sleekier receiver in regards to like slashing, a good route runner. But he's that guy who, you know, like you talk about slashers in games.
Yeah.
Like in basketball, like he slashes the cup, slashes backdoor cuts, that kind of stuff. That's what he reminds me of. Like, he'll take a catch and he just gets skinny and he'll get a first down out of nowhere, or he'll be able to make his defender miss it and gain a bunch of yards. And I think because of all the focus on Deebo, all the focus on, well, really Christian McCaffrey, Deebo, and George Kittle, you have to honor Brandon Ayuk with one-on-one coverage, and he's taking full advantage of it. And he's having a great year this year. And yeah, Deebo's been in and out of that lineup, but on the same token, we just saw George Kittle's, and I told you, I think it was the Cowboys or another game when they played, like, Deebo or George Kittle's was going to go off, because you just don't hear a lot from them because defenses are collapsing on them. So Brandon has to beat you. They're saying Brandon Ayuk beat us, and he's been beating them.
Yeah.
Well, Christian McCaffrey been whooping everybody, but, you know, Brandon throwing salt in the wound. He's throwing salt in the wound.
All right, your turn.
All right. So we're going to go a little bit. KJ Osborne, Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, see.
Okay.
See, I haven't seen enough of him. He's still got a young career, but he's even third string there. I think Addison's above him.
He's starting now because of the injury to Justin Jefferson. He was starting before Addison. Yeah. Addison was actually in the slot. But I will agree with you. Addison has taken over as the primary number one. They're focusing more on getting Addison the ball more than KJ Osborne. Okay, your turn.
Yeah. I think we all can agree with this one. Can we just say JJ or Justin Jefferson's an A? We pretty much agree with
that. Yeah. I don't know what. Get that out of here.
Some other controversy ones maybe we'll have, because let's just do two each left, or one each left. I'm not sure how much time we have. One each.
Let's just go one.
Dang, I have two, but let's go AJ Brown.
Oh, give me your two, because I can take your two. That's fine.
AJ Brown, and then we'll go a healthy Keegan Allen.
First of all, AJ Brown is an A, and I just need you, what is the Tennessee Titans, to understand that was dumb. That was solid dumb. Dumb. And when they signed him and gave him the $100 million, everybody was like, oh, you know, they Titans didn't want to offer him. Titans don't think y'all. And then AJ just been cooking, just been in the kitchen, whipping up all type of snacks and lunches and handing them out to folks NFL wise. And then you went and got the same receiver in the draft, Trey Burke. And I'm like, I don't get what y'all was doing. This, you should have just paid the vet who's already proven. So, yeah, AJ's an A. What about you?
Oh, A. A, for every reason you said, A. And then the last one I put also was Keegan Allen, a healthy Keegan Allen.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah, Keegan. I'm sorry.
I was like, Keegan Allen. I was like,
sorry, Keenan my bad. Allen. A healthy, because he's been healthy, hey. Not healthy. So, yeah, I haven't met as an that, A well
that,
as well.
That route running is just too much. That has, stop and go just too much.
When him and
Mike Williams?
No. When him and kind of Mike Evans had the similar game. Mike Evans is a little bit bigger, but they kind of have similar game when Mike Evans was, you know, when he was able to get separation. But Allen's stats over the years, I mean, when he's healthy, it's phenomenal. When he's healthy, that's the problem.
To me, they're different, completely different receivers. And the reason why is Mike is big, physical, going to beat you up. Keenan Allen is not trying to be, he's finesse. But that, the route, bro, when I watch him run routes, I mean, he put that foot in the ground so hard, you like, he got to be giving himself a stretch fracture in the foot, because he stopped on a dime, turn, catching, and get back upfield. And the DB still trying to get in and out of his hips with the back pedal and turn. So for me, it's the route running for me, and he does make contested catches. He's fun to watch too, because he just be talking crazy to DBs all game. It could be like it could be a catch, it'd be 5 yards. He getting up saying something. I'm like, it ain't nothing to say. Like, you only got 5 yards, but he getting up, helmet all up here.
Do you have any other ones?
I do, but I think we should move on to the next segment. Okay. I think I want to get some picks in for what games we want to watch for the NFL.
That's fair. There was three I had that are a borderline A/B, but we could save those for a later date.
Yeah, let's save those for a later time. Let's get to some other ones. All right. So you watched Thursday night game?
What was the teams again?
Dallas versus Seattle?
Yes, I did.
I don't know what happened with Seattle. Pete might end up on the list of coaches that might need to go. And I like Pete, actually. I don't think he need to go nowhere, but like, he might end up on this list. He might, because it's no way Dallas should have made that kind of comeback on a decent defense that you got. There's no way Dak should have did that, and he did.
I'm upset with Tyler Lockett, man. I'm upset with Tyler Lockett. He had that play, that drop pass, where was nobody behind him. There was nobody around. You also cost me a bet, but not that doesn't no here or there. Like, that's my own fault. That's my own fault. But the fact of the matter was, like you got to catch that. That wasn't a what's the receiver for Kansas City that dropped that ball? That wasn't that kind of pass. That Tony? Was like, yeah, no, Tony? Marquez, Tony? Marquez,
Tooney,
Marquez Scantley.
Scantley.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, Scaldez.
The pass from Mahomes, which was like over the deep pass. This was like, you got your hands on it, and it just dropped. And the reason I think it dropped is because over the years, Tyler Lockett has been brilliant in the way he catches the ball. He goes down right away because he doesn't want to get hit, because if he gets hit, you know, you get potential concussion. So if you watch Tyler Lockett play, sometimes he'll grab the ball and just slide down and be like, yep, I'm down there, to prolong his career, which I don't blame at all. I can't blame him for that, but he started to do the motion of the slide before making the catch a little bit. I'm not sure if that's because he saw the ball at the last minute. I'm not sure why. But yeah, that one hurt me. But yeah, that game was exciting from start to finish. Geno had good moments, and then he had moments of just like, where are you throwing that ball? Where are you going? Like, what is going on here? But I mean, Cowboys, again, it's either the offense is on or the defense is on, but they never are on.
Like, not together.
They're never together, like, the same page. Good for that DB that they were picking on all game. Seattle was picking on the same DB all game. Good for him getting that interception.
Was it Lewis or Ballin?
I believe.
Yeah, that's Bland. Bland is his last name.
Yeah. Good for
Ron Bland. That's the dude with the interceptions.
Yes, good. They were picking on him, kept picking on him, kept
picking DK was eaten.
Good for him not being discouraged and getting that interception. That was a hell of an interception. Good for him. But yeah, I mean, that was finally a Thursday night game that I was interested in.
Oh,
let's be honest. Like, last one, the thing before that was Carolina Bears and Neither coach could figure out
16-10 or something. Yeah, it was something terrible. 13-10.
Forget how terrible it was. Why couldn't either coach figure out, hey, maybe if we run the ball, we could win this game? Because finally the Bears were like, oh, we're running the ball consistently. Maybe if we just keep doing this, we'll win the game. I don't know. They're both idiots, so those two coaches.
I took a few things from this game. Seattle, I don't know, they gotta learn to finish, because it's not gonna help them if they do get into the playoffs. This you gotta learn to finish the team off in regards to just beating them, completing the win. They kind of let up on the gas, and they didn't have their starting running back either, so that did hurt them in the long run, because they couldn't just consistently run the ball with Kenneth Walker. They had I forgot his last name. I know he came from UCLA.
It starts with a C.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh God.
There you
Zach,
go. There
Zach. You go. Zach is his name.
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, I agree with a lot of the points you had. Tyler Lockett with the slide. He does a lot of body catching too. I don't know if it's because like the way he's built, but he does like cradle catch. You know, you see people like cradle it, yeah, and catch it and then get it. So that was a good game. Actually, I want to get your picks for – oh, sorry, my last point. That's what I was trying to get to. DK Metcalf, you a different breed. Learning sign language to be able to talk trash. Excellent work, DK. That's an A effort. We didn't put you in the receiver stuff yet. We'll get to that. But excellent effort in talking trash and being petty in sign language. I just want to give him a shout-out for that.
Did you see it? I don't know what he was saying. What was he saying? Do you know?
He was like, one of the times he scored, I think last game, it was like, this is my son. So he did like a sign and then went like that, like, this is my son. And I forgot this last one, what he said. He said something in here, like, oh, he can't hold me. Or no, I stand on business.
Oh,
sign language, I stand
yeah,
on business.
That's right, yeah.
And so I was like, dang. I said, bro, that's a different level of track. Can they find him for sign language?
That'd be wrong. You can't do that. That falls in the category of wrongness.
I think the NFL caught in a conundrum right there. I don't think he can do that.
I would just say he can do that. I'm just doing some dance moves. That's all I would say. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just doing some dance
Somebody
moves.
Somebody going to interpret that for what it is.
But
man, interpreters.
My man was smart.
He's a thinker.
Hey, all right, they're Ken, all playing checkers. He playing chess out there.
Chess. Facts. That's what I was like. He's sign language on him. And he signed, I stand on business. I said, this man is disrespectful. I love it.
All right.
Give me two or three games from this Sunday that you're going to watch.
Okay. So this Sunday,
you better watch your Cardinals.
This is,
I know you ain't been watching them. You better watch them Cardinals.
I ain't watching no Cardinals.
Supposed to watch some Cardinals.
I haven't updated those teams in a while. Let's just say Kyler's back. That's all I got to say. So teams I've been watching, or teams I'm going to be watching, is it's all related to the one division that I'm counting on for the bet. So I'm going to be watching Lions-Saints because I'm hoping the Lions beat the Saints. I'm going to be watching Falcons-Jets because I need the Falcons to beat the Jets. And I'm going to be watching Panthers-Bucks because I want the Panthers to beat the Bucks. Because Bucks can still – get this. Bucks can still technically win their division. And if they don't win their division – they could still, if they don't win and come second or third, they get the seventh round pick of the draft. Because that's how bad that division is.
Jesus.
Those are the teams I'm watching. None good teams, because it's all to do with my financials. Go ahead, Irv.
I'm mad at it. So obviously you got to check out the San Francisco Philly game. That's just a big game in general.
Yes.
I'm interested in the Green Bay Kansas City game because I want to see what version of Jordan Love shows up. He's been inconsistent, but when he's consistent, when he's been on, like, you're like, man, this young dude has got some talent. The next game I want to see, I'll be honest with you, there's really no other game I would catch. Any other ones I'll catch would be fine.
Well,
maybe I kind of want to see.
You don't want to catch Bengals Jags on Monday night because of you kind of want to interested to see how the backup is going to do after having a week of, you know, practice reps and everything versus the Jaguars team.
No,
that's going to be
throwing
a bunch.
No. Right. Cause I don't think he's going to do any. I don't think Brownie's built like that. I don't think he's going to come out there and sling that thing. Even with Jamar Chase and him trying to go crazy for him. Like, I can't see him.
Jamar Chase,
A or B.
Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase. Hey.
Jamar Chase.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey. I don't know what that was. That's an A, easy. That's an easy A. But I basically at this point, I'm gonna just invest in Jacksonville. Go ahead and take that win, so I can at least have you win a division. Because I know the Bengals ain't winning no divisions. They ain't winning that this year. They done. They done.
The money line or the line for Jacksonville is there -9. So Jacksonville is supposed to score 9 more points than the Bengals. Jacksonville is at home, so we'll see what happens there.
Do you see that Jacksonville defense play?
Hey,
you see that D-line movement?
Honestly, the over-under for Jacksonville is 38.5.
So have you seen that D-line play? Have you seen a D-line play? Allen Ford, I don't even know his first name. Allen is having a career year.
That is also Josh Allen, I believe. I think his name is Josh Allen.
Yeah, having a career year. Ain't no, bruh. Bengals barely holding up. They barely had Joe Burrow on 2 feet. What you mean they finna have Browning sitting back there looking pretty out here throwing dimes? Can't get out of here with that.
Do you think they score more than 38.5 points, though? Both teams together.
Together?
Yeah.
I think Jacksonville can score 38 on their own, and I don't know what the Bengals.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's low. I know the Bengals.
I don't know what.
They're going to be throwing because they got to put up points.
I think Jamar Chase is going to have yardage. I think even T. Higgins might have some yardage. I think it'll be yardage, but I don't know if they're going to get in the end zone. Because, you know, when you get to the end zone, it tightens up. It shrinks down.
You got Mixon.
Do they?
All right, let's go
Have
on.
We seen Joe Mixon just go crazy?
Let's move on.
Final thing. Let's talk about the NBA. Let's just talk All about right. the NBA real quick. You ready?
Yes.
So give me a, so let's talk about. Let's talk surprise teams with winning records and surprise teams with bad or losing records. So just give me a couple of teams. We can just talk about them together. We don't have to do our mine and yours that have losing records and winning records that you're just surprised by.
Clippers,
like at this time.
Clippers, I'm surprised they have a losing record. Like with all the star players and what they're on writing, they look great. I don't know why they're losing. I can't believe Chicago Bulls are this bad.
Facts.
I'm shocked by that. Cleveland Cavaliers, again, I know they're at the 8th seed, and there's a lot more to the season, but I'm surprised they're that low.
They should be better. They should be better defensively, too.
Yeah. One thing I want to talk about before we get off them is, remember when the draft came out, I was like, we talked about drafted players, and this guy I watched play in Sacramento because of the tournament was here, so I went and watched him at UCLA. Jaime Jaquez Jr. My man is out there with the Heat. Remember, I said he's a great for that system. He's going to be a great player for that system. And sure enough, he is, oh my goodness, he's popping, man. I love it.
Too bad he's in the draft class with Victor Wembanyama. Victor's going to win that award just
for
popularity.
No, he's not. It's going to be between him and Chet. No, it's going to be him and Chet.
It's
going to
be him. It's going to be, I think Jaime should be in the race. I think he should be actually counted because he's played more minutes, or he's going to end up playing more minutes, I feel like, than Victor, because Victor's going to be one of those guys and play more games where they're like, oh, you got a fingernail injury? Okay, sit out. Sit out for 3-4 weeks. Get healthy. We don't want you having any type of injury, period, in a discussion. And I think they're going to push for him to have the rookie of the year, but you know how popularity works. He's already came in, phenom, generational talent, all of that. Jaime already got everything working against him just to win that. And it's a rarity when guys who really should win it. It's usually the guys who are like, oh, I was a first-round draft pick. I had to play a bunch of games. I started. My numbers were skewed because we were losing, but I was putting up 20 points because I'm playing enough minutes where I should be averaging 20-something points. So I don't think he's going to get the love he should, and I don't think Chet's going to win it either.
I think Chet's going to win it. I really think Chet's going to win it. I think his numbers are just too excellent, and they're winning as well. So that helps.
Oh, yeah, facts. I couldn't see it. I just think he's old news. No offense. Like and I'm talking about the popularity part of it, not his production. But you know how they move on from the next one. Like even with Ben Simmons winning it, it was a controversy that Ben Simmons even won it because who should have won it? Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah. So Blake Griffin did it that one time as well.
Yep. So it's things like that where I'm like, I don't know if Chet's popularity overrides Victor's popularity right now. And Victor's putting up good numbers as well. They're not winning. Cam, what award is associated with winning anymore?
None.
Popularity. Popularity. So that's what I'm saying.
The MVP doesn't go to the MVP.
Facts.
Go on.
But go. No, go ahead.
Oh, that's it. That's all I have for teams. That's it. Your turn.
Oh, okay. So the team that I have that I'm confused about is the Golden State Warriors. Like, they don't have a terrible record, but they don't look like a good team at all. Like, you see them play and they
Yeah, that's fair.
get
I didn't
these
even
big
see that.
leads, and then it, but then all of a sudden, as I think it's advanced age. Maybe it's just advanced age out of their big three and playing the minutes they playing with a Chris Paul, because Chris Paul is now hurt. They just give back the lead. It's almost like teams are like, once the Warriors get up, we just got to wear them down. We just literally got to keep making them run. And
That's
everyone's talking
fair.
about, oh, Steph's MVP season. This could be another one of Steph's MVP seasons. But you look at it and you go, they're trying just to win a game. I don't even know if Steph, even if you keep putting up these 30-pointers and dropping 40, are they actually going to be winning? Is that going to relate to winning? It just seemed like everybody is too tired at the end of the game to push forward and get a win. That's just a surprise
I
team.
have one more
Give
team I
me,
just noticed.
go
Sorry.
ahead.
Magic. Orlando Magic, second seed right
No, I
now,
was trying to
nine
break.
game winning
That's what.
streak.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
They're not getting
No,
any
I'm.
love from the media either.
No, and they are what, second in the conference,
They're
in the
second in
Eastern
the
Conference?
conference. What's his name? Wagner is doing work.
Hey, Franz, bro, they came back from winning that gold over there. Franz been acting different. Franz act like he looked at Pablo and said, "This is my team. I'm the captain now. I'm
Spelled
the
Pablo's.
captain."
They even spelled Pablo's name wrong on ESPN,
There you go. They said, "This is
I think.
Franz's team. You're not the captain no more. We
Hold
know
on.
who the captain
Unless
of this
I've been
ship
spelling
is."
it wrong. Oh,
Paolo Ranchero,
it's
Ventrero.
Paolo. I thought it was
Yeah,
Pablo. It's
Paolo
Pablo.
Rentero,
Never mind. They spelled it right. My
Blantero.
bad. My bad.
Well, look, just to finish this off with these with this particular Magic team, I love where they're at.
Yes.
They're a huge team, dude. They're like 6'8" and above. You got a couple of dudes like Cole Anthony out there and Jalen Suggs that are like 6'2", maybe 6'3" at the
Six
max.
five is Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, Jalen Suggs ain't no 6'5".
He says six
Suggs ain't no
five.
6'5". I'd have to see. Nah, I gotta see him next to somebody else then, because he look way. That team bigger than hell then. Ain't nobody on that team. If he's 6'5", everybody else 6'10" and up. Paolo gotta be 6'10". Franz Wagner's gotta be
Pablo is
6'10".
6'10" or 6'9". Yeah, 6'10". Franz is, I believe, 6'10" as well. And then their
Oh nah, bro.
center.
That's a I can't believe he's 6'9". I
And
mean,
then.
I can't believe he's 6'5", because he looks shorter. I
And
mean,
Wagner's 6'11, so yeah, I mean he's
bruh,
6'5".
this team is the Monstars, and they all shoot threes. They all play deep.
Yep.
Jonathan Isaac ain't even playing like that
They
right
have a
now, and
defensive center too. Wendell Carter comes out there, and then they also have
he
they have
shoot
the
three.
grandpa. They had the veteran grandpa, Joe Ingles, coming
Oh
out
yeah,
there.
you heard Cole Allen call him grandpa. We a bunch of kids with his
Remember I said.
grandkids.
Remember the running joke was send him always to send him to Orlando. Every player we traded was like send him to Orlando, send him to Orlando. Now players want to go to Orlando.
Facts. Big dog is facts. They are killing out there. But yeah, that's my surprise team. I'm just like, wow, man, they are.
Jonathan
I
Isaac?
hope they continue to
My
success.
goodness.
Had not, bro, I hope they continue
6'10".
success. Cole Anthony's coming off the bench and dropping 25 or 30. He just, it's great. I'm good on them.
All right, wrap it on up, Irv.
All right. So go ahead and just end it, Cam.
All
We don't have
right.
enough time for
That's going
that.
to
We
do
don't have enough
it.
time.
That's going to do it for episode 131. Any kind words, Irv?
No,
All right.
no.
Thank you all.
Happy holidays. I'm just playing. Happy holidays. There you go.
Make sure you make somebody smile, and we'll catch you later. All right. Bye.
Nice work.